Asher Tosim Lefin. This week is a triple header. Okay, triple crown. A triple crown week. We have three Sefer Torah. First Sefer Torah is the Parshas HaShavua. And then we have...
Rabbi, how are you? Sorry.
Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. Welcome.
How are you?
Shalom Aleichem. A good Chodesh. Mishenichnas Adar Marbe Mesimcha.
Good
Chodesh.
Amen. Amen.
This week's Parsha, we have three Sefer Torah, but we have really four topics. It's really four topics to Shabbos. Number one is the Parshas HaShavua. Number two is the second Sefer Torah, but the second Sefer Torah includes two themes. Shabbos, uviyoyim ha-Shabbos. Shnei chvasim b'nei shana timimim, shnei esronim, solas mincha b'lov Hashem v'nizkoy, olas Shabbos v'shabbatoy, al olas ha-tamid v'nizkoy. Shabbos. Really, we should learn this every single Shabbos. Every single Shabbos, we should learn two Sifrei. We should have two Sifrei Torah in honor of the Musaf of Shabbos. But there are various reasons why we don't. One of them is because there are only two Pesukim. Whatever the reasons are, but when Shabbos falls out, when Shabbos falls out on Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos, then once we are already laning over Rosh Chod Sheichem, we lane Rosh Chodesh, so we chaparain. We lane also Shabbos. So the second Sefer Torah really is double. It's kefil. Double. Magid Mishneh. We have a double, we have Shabbos and we have Rosh Chodesh. And then comes, the third Sefer Torah is Parsha Shkolim. Aleph, Ba'adar, Mashmim al Shkolim. On the first day of Adar, it says in the Mishnah, the Bezin would make an announcement, they would send out Shluchim to tell everyone, do not forget, Chodesh Nisan is coming soon, and the halacha demands that the korbanos be offered from a new collection of funds. Everyone in Klal Yisrael has a chelik in the musafim, in the korbanos sibor, and every year the funds must be renewed fresh. That every year the korbanos have to be offered from funds that are fresh. And therefore, on Rosh Chodesh Adar, we begin to make the collection, as we discussed this week at great length, all the different reasons, all the different concepts that go into Parsha Shkolim. But in any event, tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, we have three Sifrei Torah, and in the three Sifrei Torah, we're really going to be learning four different themes. Parshas HaShavua, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Parshas Shkolim. Four major, so it's a loaded parasha tomorrow. The parasha begins with the Mishpatim. First Rashi tells us, start with a short word. Rashi begins telling us, asking the question, what is the significance of the juxtaposition between Mishpatim and the end of Parshas Yisro? The last topic in Parshas Yisro is the mitzvah to build a mizbeach. All of the laws of a mizbeach. It's interesting that in the Haftarah, we also make mention of the mizbeach. But Yehu HaMelech, the Haftarah begins with Yehu HaMelech, his only chesaron, Rak ha-bamos loy soru. He did not take away the bamos. Interesting, the end, the Haftarah, the first thing of the Haftarah begins about a private mizbeach, which is shaloi kedin. And last week's parasha ends with the mizbeach. And the beginning of the parasha is the Eila HaMishpatim. Rashi asks the question, what is the significance of connecting Mishpatim, the laws, Bezdin, Mishpat, authority in Klal Yishol, juxtaposed to the Mizbeach, the laws of how to build a Mizbeach, what you can do, what you cannot do, do not use metal tools to craft the stones of the Mizbeach. You should have a ramp. There should not be a staircase to ascend. There should be a ramp, and all the various laws of the Mizbeach. So Rashi says to teach you the halacha that the Sanhedrin, the ultimate Sanhedrin, should be located in the Beis HaMikdash next to the Mizbeach. If not for this drasha, where would the court, the highest court in the land, be position located? It'll be located anywhere you want. In Yerushalayim, Beis Shemesh, Eilat, Tel Aviv, Be'er Sheva, Beit Vegan. You choose. You decide. You can put the highest court in the land, whatever you want, wherever you want. But the fact that Pasuk juxtaposes the laws of Ve'ilah HaMishpatim Asher Tosim Lefneim next to the laws of the Mizbech is teaching that the Sanhedrin should be located, the highest court, the court of 71 judges, should be located in the Beis HaMikdash, right next to the Mizbech. That's where the Lishkas HaGozes is positioned. Okay, very nice. But now the question first begins, what is the Torah coming to teach us? What's the message? What is the moral, ethical message of putting the Sanhedrin right next to the Mizbech? What's the message? So I don't know the real answer, but let me tell you a little machshava. Today, when we go to court, when we have situations of going to court, like right now, there's one of the most celebrated court cases in the world. The impeachment trial is going on right now. You know, it's interesting that this parasha is we're reading the parasha against the backdrop, or the trial, should say, the trial of the century, and if you want to call that, but something very unique that was never happened before, where you could put a person who's no longer a person that's not even in office on trial. It's a very interesting situation, is happening against the backdrop of Parashas Mishpatim, Ve'elah HaMishpatim Asher Tasim Lefneim Mishpat. And the first Rashi tells us that the Sanhedrin should be positioned, should be located opposite the Mizbeach. What is the significance of what's the message? So let's step back. When we go to court, why do you go to court? You go to court to win. You don't go to court to lose. Whenever a person has an issue, you have some disagreement with your chaver, and the question is, who gets the money? Is it my money? Is it your money? You stole money? You didn't steal money? You have a problem. You have a problem. Sanhedrin is not only about money, it's about a lot of things. It's about yichus, it's about chesha mishpah, it's about everything, yoredeah. But one of the major things that we deal with in courts on a daily basis is money. Kesef ye'ane es hakol. Everything ultimately comes back to money. And why do you go to court? You want to win. You want to win. And you bring with you a lawyer. The best lawyer money can buy. Win, win, win. That's life. I mean, that's the reality. It's very bizarre midrashim. Actually, bizarre. There are very unique midrashim. And Ma'amar Chazal to tell us about what is going to happen in the courts in the times of Mashiach. It's so bizarre. It's almost impossible to wrap your mind around it. What is the bezin going to? What will we need a bezin for in the times of Mashiach? There'll be two people, and one person will come to his neighbor and say, "You know, I owe you money. I use your apartment. I'm paying rent. This, that. I don't know. You have to make up a case. And you know, I really owe you another $1,000 for the service that you've provided. And I know I'm a Yoresh Shemayim. I learn, I daven, I'm an honest person, I'm not going to live forever, give din v'cheshbon. My conscience, I can't accept this, that I owe you money. So here's the money. I worked hard, it's good, honest money, and I want to live a proper life. Here's the money, here's the $1,000. The other person says, no, you don't owe me the money. If I would take the money, I would feel guilty. I never had in mind that I should charge you for this. It's okay. I'm moichel the money. And the other one, no, I want to give it. The other one says, I don't want to take it. Let's go to a din Torah. Let's go to a din Torah to see which one of us will lose. That's what it says. There are different stories about Ma'amar Chazal. Not only there are such situations like that. Let's go to a Beis Din, and the Beis Din will tell us which one of us will lose. Torah tells us, don't be impressed, don't be influenced by the secular world. In the secular world, when you go to court, it's about winning. You got to win. You have to have the best lawyer. You go for blood. You don't just want to win. You wanna wipe the floor with your opponent. Hashem says, put the Sanhedrin, Eitzel HaMizbeach. Put the Sanhedrin right next to the Mizbeach. What is a Mizbeach? Sacrifice. It's about losing. It's about giving up. What is a sacrifice? You come to the Beis HaMikdash, you've done an Avera, and you recognize you have failed, you have disappointed Hashem, and you should really offer your own neshama on the Mizbeach as a sacrifice. Hashem says, no, 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 no. We don't take care of human sacrifices. That's not the way it works. Instead of giving your neshama to me for your shortcomings, bring an animal, whatever. And these are Kabbalistic things. I don't understand what these things, whatever, how it works. But basically, everyone will appreciate when you go to the Mizbeach, you're taking a life of a living creature and you're giving it to Hashem. That's a very frightening concept. You're giving up. You're giving up. You're giving away life. It's a very frightening concept. The Sanhedrin is right next to the Mizbeach. The message is, when you come here to the Mizbeach, you come here to Sanhedrin, don't come with an attitude of taking, of winning. That's not the purpose of a Sanhedrin. The purpose of Sanhedrin is to do what you're supposed to do in this world. What are your duties in life? What are your obligations? What do I have to give and what do I not have to give? I have received a service. Did I compensate the person for what he has given me? I don't know. It's a complicated halachic dilemma. I don't know what the law is. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. It's a matter of attitude. If the attitude when you come to Bezin is to fulfill your duties, that creates a whole different dynamic, a whole different approach to mishpat. The Eile HaMishpatim Asher Tosim Lifnei. Obviously, we live in this world. What I'm saying is probably super bizarre and outrageous to say such things. But you know, there are Ma'amarei Chazal that talk about this. That talk about what the purpose of the Beis Din is. We live in a very different world today, and we are very influenced. We are from the Umay Sa'olam, and that's the way, you know, life is life. That's how it is. We have to survive. But at least we should plant a seed in our minds that there are better ways to do things. The Eile HaMishpatim Asher Tosim Lifneihem, Rashi, make sure the Sanhedrin HaGadol is right next to the Mizbeach. It sends a message. The Mizbeach is about sacrifice. Lives are being given to Hashem. Not just money. Neshamos are being given to Hashem. Certainly, money. Money is replaceable. You give your money to Hashem. Part of giving your money to Hashem is to give the money to the person who really deserves to have the money. If it's not your money, make sure the money falls into the right person. Okay, Rabbi, now, I want to just deviate for a little second. I want to tell you something which occurred to me. This is a little bit off the topic, just very, very quickly. Like I told you, it's very interesting that the trial, the impeachment trial, is happening against the backdrop of Parshas Mishpatim. It's the whole trial is a very fascinating thing in American law. Who is the judge, the jury? Senators. It's a very fascinating. The senators are the ones who decide. It's very interesting. You know, ever go to jury duty? So in America, there's a very fascinating principle of you are judged by a jury of your peers. You take anyone off the streets, and as long as you can agree, both sides can agree that he's impartial, the ordinary person will serve as the judge. It's a very fascinating concept. In Chazal, is there any... This is fun. I'm not coming to good, not good. I'm just using this as a backdrop to appreciate the Torah. In the Torah, is there such a thing where a person is judged by a jury of his peers? Well, this week's parasha, we learned about the Sanhedrin. We learned last week, and we learned all over the Torah. It doesn't appear there is such a thing. It appears in order to be a dayan, to make a decision that affects another person, it requires training. It requires skill. It requires a life devoted to learning, to knowing the halacha, to be a member of the Sanhedrin HaGadol. You have about 71 people off the street. That's not the way it goes. Hashem says this was done al pi ruach hakodesh. So the leaders dealing with people that are qualified, who are knowledgeable in the halacha, and there's a hierarchy. It would not appear there is anything at face value anywhere in the Torah that this approach of mishpat can be executed through what was called in America a jury of your peers. It appears that this is something which the founders, the framers of the Constitution, extremely novel in what they've done, especially that they were very religious, many of them, not all of them, but many of them were very religious people, and a lot of their beliefs were firmly rooted in the Bible. And you don't see this anywhere in Tanakh, such a concept where you can take an ordinary person off the street and sit down in a room and present a trial and let them shikol hadas, whatever they think. They will be told the law. I mean, it's not like you just do whatever you want. Obviously, if you go to jury duty, they drill into your head, this is the law. Let us tell you, this is the law. They read you the law 100 times. This is the law. We're not asking you for your own daya, your own opinion. We're telling you what the law is, and we're asking you to decide if this situation is a violation of that law or not a violation of that law. Don't let your own opinions get involved in this decision. Well, that's very interesting. That itself, I think you all could appreciate it's a very interesting concept, and it's interesting where they got, I'm sure there must be some history about this, where the framers of the Constitution, where they got this. Okay, is there anything like that in Chazal? It would appear not. It would appear that in a Jewish society, there is no such thing as a jury of your peers. But you know something? It's not really true. There really is. Torah Sadarim, you don't need to, it's not a real, that's just a minog, it's not a real bezdin. But the truth is, there is something. And it's a little bit more esoteric. It's not really Shulchan Aruch. And I can't quote you at this moment, chapter and verse, but this is something which I have to find you the sources for this. It's something very interesting is that in Shamayim, there's a Bezin Shamayim. We all throw around that term all the time. A Bezdin Shalmaila. And the Bezin Shalmaila is very active. They're very busy. They're busy making decisions for people when they're alive, when they're not alive, Achamei Ve'esrim. There's always this talk, there's going to be a din v'cheshbin. Whose makes the din v'cheshbin? Well, the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? Hashem, ultimately Hashem, he is the chief justice. But Hashem lets the dayanim also make. It seems that there's something called the Bezin Shalmaila. Okay, there are dayanim. Rabbi said, who are those dayanim? So it says in Chazal, the first of the dayanim are people that are neshamais, or people that lived in this world that are knowledgeable, not just, you know, anyone off the street. But, you know, in Shemayim, there is no limit to great people from all generations. There are people who lived in the time of Avraham Avinu, who lived in the time of Moshe, the Shivim Zakenim. Every generation, there are very great people. But Chazal said that when a person in the 21st century, in the year 2021, February, what's it? The 12th?
Today is the 12th.
February 12th.
212 years old today.
What?
Abraham Lincoln had lived, he would be 212 years old
if today. Abraham Lincoln would have lived, he would have been 212 years old today. Okay, today's his birthday. In the 21st century, if someone today in Shemayim, they want to judge him, they want to, there's something that's going on up there. Who from the pool of who knows how many eligible dayanim there are in Shemayim, not anyone off the street, people who are knowledgeable, people who are roy for this, they don't take anyone. They take a court of your peers, not a jury of your peers. They take judges who are your peers, people from your generation, people who lived in this world, who have smartphones, who have WhatsApp, have text, computers, have television.
That's what it means, Asher Yeh Bayomim Mohen.
To a degree, there is, it's not a jury of your peers, any Tom, Dick, and Harry off the street, but there is such a principle. It's the judges have to be judges who can fully relate to your circumstances, to what you are going through. Only they are eligible to judge you. Is it? There is such a principle. There is such a principle. It's not a principle that is practical here. I mean, I don't know how, but in this concept of the Bez and Shalmaila, Chazal actually say that. So the thing that I just reading a little bit about the impeachment trial, I just find it so interesting is who is the judge? So you go for jury duty. It's a jury of your peers. They take anyone off the streets. One, there are many situations where, no, there are judges. Okay, some trials, I don't know all the details, but some trials, you have an option. Sometimes there's an option. You can decide if you want a judge to decide or do you want to have a jury decide. And of course, the jury is not just, you know, like I told you, the jury has, they taught the law, they teach them the law, and they drill into their head what the law is, and they tell them to decide, fine. But it's still ordinary people who have really no professional training in this. It's just, that's the way they made it. And I find this trial to be very fascinating is because you're taking senators. You're not taking judges. You're not taking people off the streets. You're taking senators. Now, I don't want to make any jokes here. But politicians, they're a beria bifnei atzma. They're a whole different breed. There's nothing, no comparison. You can't compare them. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus, and politicians are from, I don't know where, but from somewhere else. And it's very interesting that they are the judges. And you know that opens up this whole, how often do you have something like this in American law where you have something like this? Never. How often do you impeach a president? How often do you impeach a president twice, even though he's no longer in office? It's very interesting, and it opens up, it's a very interesting backdrop to study the Eile HaMishpotim Asher Tosim Lifnehem. Chazal, L'Choyer, there's no such thing. Chazal, you're a member of the Sanhedrin HaGadol, how'd you get here? The whole Gemara talks about in a very complex system of how you work your way up through the system to become eligible to sit in the Sanhedrin HaGadol. You just can't take anyone. You just can't go explain a halacha to a person and tell them that you decide.
One incident, wasn't there, of removal of the Nasi?
Yeah, okay, that was, but who removed him?
That's a form of
impeachment. That's an impeachment. That's an, right. I'm not discussing the element of impeachment. I'm just talking about a trial. Okay. I'm not discussing that aspect. But it's a very interesting backdrop to the, in Klal Yisrael, who in this case is the judge? Senators, 50 senators. They're the 100 senators. They're the judges. They're the judges. Do we find American law, a jury of your peers? Do we find something like this in Klal Yisrael? L'chore not. There's no such thing. The Torah does not agree with this approach to Mishpat. But yet, there is a little bit of an element where they do. And that is, at least by the Bez and Shalmaila, or maybe there are applications even in the Bez and Shalmata, what kind of, look, if you ever had the very unpleasant experience of going to a Bezdin, so the way it works is Zeh Boirer Loy Echad, Vezeh Boirer Loy Echad. If you have a court of three judges, each litigant has the right to select a judge. You select who you want, and the other party selects who he wants. And together, you select a third judge, together. So isn't that a jury of your, that's a whole different system. That's not a jury of your peers, it's even better. You select who you want the judge to be. But the judge has to be a Talmud Chacham, a person that's not just off the street. You're dealing over here with a person that has the qualifications, has smicha. So it's a very interesting topic of discussion to analyze the process of who is eligible to exercise mishpat. The framers of the Constitution had some very interesting ideas, but they're only human beings. They're only human beings. And the degree of their ideas, it's only been 200 and something years. You know, it's not eternal. And Baruch Hashem, it's worked pretty well so far in America. But you have to appreciate that the Torah is eternal, and the Torah has a very different set of rules as to how we go about selecting individuals to exercise mishpat. Okay, let's go to another idea.
Yeah, I mean, they were coming from a system that they did not trust.
Okay, it also developed. The whole Constitution didn't happen overnight. It was a long process to formulate, to develop. It was a lot of siyata d'shmaya as well. It didn't just happen by itself. Ribbono Shel Olam, obviously, he brought about the way America developed. Okay, let's now go to another idea. Let's talk about a little bit about the parasha of Nirtza. The first parasha in this parasha, the first topic in this parasha is the Nirtza. Nirtza, we deal with an Eved Ivri. A person is sold as a Jewish slave. Either Bezdin sells him or he sells himself. He works for 6 years. And after 6 years, it's time to leave. That's the law. You only work for a maximum of 6 years. And when the time to leave comes, the slave says, you know something? I don't want to go. It's too good. The slave, Vim Omor Yomar, whoever, Hafti es Adoni, es Ishti, vies Bonoi, he was given a Shifcha Kenanis to have children with, in addition to his wife. I don't want to leave. I love my master. I love the Shifcha Kenanis. I love my new little children. I don't want to leave. So what do we do with him? We take him to the Bezdin. He's brought to the Elohim, to Bezdin, and Bezdin takes an awl. They take him to the door, and they bang his ear. They bang the awl into his ear against the door, and they declare Menirtza va'avodo le'olam. And he serves as a slave to his master until Yovel. So there are many, Rashi, he really goes to town. Rashi, after talking about why the ear, why the door, why the mezuzah, he goes through all the different details. Then towards the end of Rashi quotes Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon says, Rashi is a very unusual expression. We touched upon this, when we learned in the afternoon, we learned Unculus, and Rashi there says, Rabbi Shimon hayudoyresh zeh kemin choymer. He expounded upon this concept like a choymer. Let me just find you the Rashi. Rabbi Shimon was doyresh this pasuk kemin choymer. One moment. Rabbi Shimon would expound upon this mikra, this pasuk, like a choymer. What in the world is a choymer? So in this art school edition, doesn't actually say what it is, but in the edition that we were using this week, it says there in the parentheses that a choymer is a piece of cloth that has been soaked in fragrances, there are some type of fragrances, and it is tied in a certain way as an ornament and worn around the neck, like perfume. But instead of applying the perfume to your body, it is a fragrant object that is beautiful, that is tied a certain way and worn around your neck, and it produces fragrance. And it's something of beauty. It's an object that is that has a delicious fragrance. And the idea that Rabbi Shimon is about to tell us is equivalent to this choymer, to this object worn around your neck that is giving off a fragrant aroma. And what's the drasha? Everyone knows the drasha. Why the door, the deles and the mezuzah? Why the deles and the mezuzah? Nikol kelim shebabayis. Am Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Deles and mezuzah. Shall you aid him be mitzrayim kishapasachti al mashkati al shem mezuzahis? V'amarti ki libnei shel avodim. 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 Avloy avodim lavodim. V'halachzev v'kodon liyatzma yirasa b'fneihem. When it came time to leave Egypt, Makas Bechoyrois, Hashem passed over the Deles and the Mashkoif and the Mezuzah. Hashem told Klal Yisrael, you better stay inside because the Malach HaMaves is out there in the street. You better protect yourself. So stay indoors, lock the doors, apply to the doorpost the blood of Dam Pesach, Dam Mila. Hashem is going to protect you, he's going to save you, and you'll survive. Because li ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, you are my servants. This individual who worked for 6 years, he says, chutzpah, I like my master, I want to be his slave more. He's in violation of the pasuk, ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, I am avodahim v'lo avodim l'avodim, yerotze b'fneihem. Now take out that same door. The door of the Beis Din is just a symbol, is just a metaphor, a symbol, a zecher for the door of Egypt, your door when you were in Egypt in your private home, in your mezuzah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he saw that door, and he saw that mezuzah, and he saw the blood, and he skipped over the door, because the fellow inside knew, ki li b'nei isha avadim, avadahim, v'loi avadim, l'avadim, it's now time to leave Egypt, and let them be, those were the witnesses of the fulfillment of the Jewish people are my servants, I'm taking them out to be my servants, and this person is in violation, he took for himself a new master, the witnesses themselves shall come forth and participate in executing the punishment to this person, to make a hole in his ear for not listening well, to remind him your ear heard those words, and now you're going to suffer the consequences, you're going to be a slave now for 50 years. Okay, now, question. What does this have to do with a choymer? So the truth is, I don't know. I want to just tell you a raw idea which occurred to me, and you can finish off the idea. We're learning now in the morning about in Zechariah, and we're learning about the time of the Bayis Sheni, the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. The beginning of the Bayis Sheni, in between, it's also Rosh Chodesh Adar now, and Parshas Mishpatim is usually read during the time of Chodesh Adar, beginning of Purim, I mean, launches Purim season. What happened at the time of the Bayis Sheni? It was 70 years since the Churban of the Bayis Rishon, 70 years passed. After the Churban Bayis Rishon, Bavel fell 70 years later, and there was a new boss in town, Parasu Modai. And we became their servants. And how do we know that we're their servants? Because Chazal tell us that even today, Ad Hayom Azeh, Akate Avdei Achashverosh Anan. Why don't we recite Hallel on Purim? You know why? Akate Avdei Achashverosh Anan. We are still servants to Achashverosh. At that time when the Bayis Sheni was about to be rebuilt, who was the Melech? The Melech was Koresh Melech Paras, and then there was his son-in-law Daryovesh Hamodi. We were their servants, and Hashem told us through Zechariah and through many other Nevi'im, it's time to go home. Your avdus is over. It's over. 70 years have passed. The nevuah of Yirmiyah, the nevuah of Yechezkel, has come true. It's over. Go home. Pick yourselves up and return to Eretz Yisrael. We learned to Yeshuvu Lochem, Bitzrechem, return to your fortress, to your former glory, asirei hatikva, you prisoners of hope, go home. And what happened? What in essence happened during this period of time? We said, no. Ohavti es adoini v'es ishti v'es bonai loy etze chavshi. We're not interested. We don't want to go. We were given a shifcha kenan. So what was the major problem when they came back to Eretz Yisrael? Intermarriage. The major problem was the Jewish people were married to non-Jewish wives, just like the Eved Ivri has a shifcha kenanis. The master gives him a shifcha kenanis, and he says, "Oh, I have to yes ishti. I like the shifcha kenanis more than my wife, and I like the new children I have with her. Lo yetzei chavshi. I'm not interested." What percent of the Jewish people returned to Eretz Yisrael? I think we learned only 5% returned in the time of Ezra. No one wanted to go back. Massive intermarriage. In essence, the story, after 70 years were over, the Nevi'im are pleading and begging Klal Yisrael to return. And they don't want to go. They don't want to go. So what happened? Hashem brought Achashverosh. And what Achashverosh do? He made the Seudah. And he tells them, no, come to the Seudah and let's celebrate that you're done, you're toast, you're finished, it's over for you. That's right, that you're my servants, and you are no longer going to be the servants, you're no longer the servants of Hashem. So what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us to the door. Elhu Elohim, v'rotza adoinov es ozno b'amartzeya. Hashem brought upon us the churbin of Haman. Lahashmid, laharog, ula abeid, es kol ha-yehudim, minar, v'yadzokein, b'yoyim echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he took us to the door to tell us, you want to be a nirtza? You want to say, ohavti yes adoinov yes ishav yes bonei lo etzei chavshi? There are consequences for this. You do this, you become a nirtza. Hashem took us to the door and brought us El Ho Elohim. What does Elohim mean? It means in the Pshuta Shel Mikra, in the Pasuk, it means to the court. Elohim is not Kodesh. Elohim is mundane. You bring the Eved Ivri El Ho Elohim to the court. But we all know that Elohim also is Hashem Hashem, and it means Midas Hadin. There's Midas Harachamim, Yudkei Vavkei, and there's Midas Hadin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us, you want to say, you don't want to go out of, there's Midas Hadin. There was never a time of Midas Hadin in the history of Klal Yisrael at the time of Purim, where there was a real gezerah to destroy the entire Klal Yisrael. Taf v'noshim Biyoim Echad. No survivors. Midas Hadin. And it was only through enormous rachamim, Lech Kinois is called Hayehudim, that we survived. But this lives on. But the fact is we're in Nirtza. How do we know that we're in Nirtza? Because when the story of the Amegillah is over, what do Chazal say? So nu zog Tehillim. It was a miracle. And what was Chazal? No, there's no. There's a zog say halal. No halal. It's a yomtiv. Halal. No. There's no halal on Purim. Akati avdei achashverosh anan. That's right. We're still slaves. Unfortunately, it's been already 1,951 years since this. Well, more. Plus the Bayashen. The Bayashen, we always learned, was not the real deal. The Bayashen was just a chizuk. It's been already almost 2,500 years. Va'avodoi le'oilam. The story of what happened in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah and the Bayashen is the story of a nirtza. We were slaves for 70 years. A slave is, and after 70 years, we didn't want to go. You don't want to go? You've been brought El Ho Elohim. There was Midas Sadin. Verotza Adoino Ves Ozno Bamartzea. Hashem says, remember. Remember at Har Sinai. Remember at Mitzrayim. Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim. Avodayim. V'loy avodim l'avodim. You don't belong here in Paras Avod. You belong in Eretz Yisrael. Why are you not listening to the Nevi'im? Go! We were reminded in a very frightening way. Know who you are. L'hashmid l'harug l'avodim kol ha'yehudim. And now, Baruch Hashem, we survived. And every year, when we come to the story of Purim, it's a reminder, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, v'loy avodim, this is not our place. We get very worked up, very, very emotionally involved in politics, in investing our time and effort. It's good, it's a very good thing. You gotta do a shtadlus. There's nothing to talk about it, but it's a very delicate balance to do your hishtadlus and to be a full-fledged member of society, a good citizen in every shape and form, but yet to have that talent and that ability to know ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, that we are Hashem's servants, not the servants of someone else. It's interesting that the mitzvahs of Purim all revolve around the delas. You bring the mishloach manos to who? You drop it off by the door. The poor people come collecting at the door. You bring mishloach manos ish d'rayeo, you're coming to other people's homes. V'gishoy adonav Elohim, v'gishoy el hadeles, oy el hamezuzah. When they clap Haman and Shul, your ears ring for the next few days. All the noise they're making. It's almost a zecher. The whole story, the mitzvahs of Purim, you're going to people's homes, you're knocking on the doors the whole day. I mean, today with Corona, I don't know what's going to be this year. But the idea is, it's the story of Purim is a story of the Nirtza. It's not a coincidence that this parish is read against the backdrop of Purim. Purim is read against the backdrop of Nirtza to remind us, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim v'loy avodim l'avodim. Now, how does that apply to the Choymer? Hayadoyrish zeh k'min Choymer. What is Purim all about? Mordechai min atar min olon morei dachya. It's one of the spices, one of the fragrance of the spices of what? Of the Ketores. Esther is Hadassah, Hadassim is fragrance. The story of Purim is rooted in fragrance. It's rooted in a sense that you can't touch, you can't see, you can't hear, but you sense. Fragrance, the whole story of Purim is all about fragrance. You can smell it. Smelling doesn't just mean, you know, a fragrance or an odor, an odor or a fragrance. It's a sense of knowing it's true without being able to put your finger on it. Fragrance, you can't touch a fragrance. You can't see a fragrance. You can't taste it. There's nothing physical. You can't ingest it, but you sense it. The story of Purim are events. There are things that are happening in this world. Things are happening. This event happens. That event happens. This happens. That happens. What's this all about? You know. You know in your heart. It's all one big puzzle that all comes together to produce a magnificent result. But I can't prove it. I can't present it in a court of law. It's just a sense. That's what Purim is all about. All of these haphazard events are happening here and there, and yet they all come together to reveal the Yad Hashem. That's the story of Purim. That's why Purim is connected to fragrances. Morei Dachya. Mordechai min HaTorah minayin. Morei Dachya. Morei Dachya means one of the spices of the Ketores. Esther is Hadassim. Hadassim is a fragrance. Hadassim, a fragrance of smelling the Hadassim. Rabbi Shimon HaYedoresh Mikro Zek Min Choymer. What is a Choymer? Choymer is a fragrance. It is an object that you put on your body that produces a fragrance. Why did Rashi use that word? Because there's one holiday in our calendar that's all about fragrances, and that is Purim. It's the holiday, the name of the holiday itself is rooted in fragrance, Mordechai and Esther, because the whole holiday is all about an acknowledgement of something that you can't, it cannot be scientifically proven. You can't prove anything in Purim. It's just a sequence of events that make no sense, that all magically come together to produce a magnificent result. It's like a fragrance. This principle of a nirtza, it applies to your life in a way, I can't prove it. I can't say I'm a slave. I'm not your slave. This mikra, he's saying this concept of the Eved Ivri and the nirtza is what life is all about, the Klal Yisrael. I can't prove it to you. No one over here is forcing me to do, there's no forced labor today. No one's forcing you to do to work for 6 years. And no, you're not actually going and saying to your master, oh, hafti yes adoini v'yes ishti v'yes bonai. No one is intermarried. We don't see people, they're intermarried and they have non-Jewish children. I mean, talking about from the Orthodox community. But you know something? You're right. I can't go say that it's happened. I can't go provide evidence that we today living in this world are guilty of being the Nirtza. I can't prove it to you. But you can smell it. You can sense it. You can sense it. Because unfortunately, if we really wanted Mashiach to come, it would have come a long time ago. This whole thing would have been over long, long ago. Why is Mashiach not here? Because we don't want. We just don't want. We are people who say, Ahafti es adoni v'es ishti v'es bonai. I love America. America's wonderful. It is. Baruch Hashem, things are good. We have a good life. We have this. Eretz Yisrael, you know, there's so many problems. This. The list goes on. Can you prove it? No. You can't present any evidence. But it's kamin choymer. It's like a fragrance. And a fragrance you can't touch, you can't see, you can't ingest, you can't feel, you can't, but you know it. The story of the Nirtza is the story of Klal Yisrael in Golus. Akati Avdei Achashverosh Anan. Why do we keep on saying about Achashverosh, or Hafti Yes Adoni Yes Ishvi Yes Bonai Loi Eitzei Chavshi? Why do we need a Kadosh Baruch Hu to come and drag us El Hu Elohim, Midas Hadin, and bring upon us difficult situations to wake us up and bore out and scream in our ear? Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, avodai heim v'loi avodim l'avodim. That's the message. That is the message of the Choymer that Rashi is referring to. Okay, we're running out of time here. Let me just leave you with those last short vart. What time is it over here? 1 second. So I'm going to leave you with last vart. Okay, literally last vart. Last vart, end of the parasha. I think this is an important vart. End of the parasha, Mishpatim, the very end, we go back and we talk about Naseh V'Nishma, the glorious words we all hear. Kol Asher Diber Hashem, Naseh V'Nishma. And the Parashas Mishpatim takes us back to the events of Matan Torah. We go in Muktam U'me'uchor B'Torah. The order is not, it's not in chronological order. After Moshe presents all of the mitzvahs, we go back and tell us what happened at Matan Torah. And there, let me read you the psukim. It's very, very interesting what it says in the psukim. It says, "Vil Moshe Omar Alei Al Hashem, go to Hashem." Okay, fine. Vayavoy Moshe. Moshe comes. Vayisaber lo Om Eis Kol Divrei Hashem VeEis Kol Hamishvotim. Moshe comes down from the mountain after having a conversation with Hashem about giving the Torah to Klal Yisrael, and he tells the people Eis Kol Divrei Hashem VeEis Kol Hamishvotim. And Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu, tells Klal Yisrael the goods. He presents the goods, the mitzvahs. And he says to Klal Yisrael, you want the Torah? Yes or no? No in-betweens. Either yes or no. Do you want to accept the Torah? Vayasaber Moshe eis kol divrei Hashem v'eis kol hamishpotim. Vayan kol ha'om koil echad. In one voice, vayoymru kol hadavarim. Everything. Asher dider Hashem na'aseh. Period. We will do. Not na'aseh v'nishma, na'aseh. We will do. Yes. We accept. Very nice. Okay. The pasuk goes more forward. Next pasuk. Vayichtov Moshe, and Moshe writes down. Eis kol divrei Hashem. Vayashki b'boiker, he gets up in the morning. Vayivim mizbeach tachas ahar, he makes a mizbeach. Ushtei meshe matzevol, ushtei mosa shiftei yishol, vayishlach esnar b'nei yishol, vayalu oilez b'in korbonos, vayizvu zvachim shlom la'ashem parim. Vayich Moshe takes the blood, he sprinkles on the people. Vayich Moshe, chatzi adam vayizma avagonis, vachatzi adam zorich ha-mizbeach. Then it says, vayikach sefer habris, he takes the book that he wrote. Vayikra be'oznei ha'om, and he reads it in the ears of the people. And here it says, vayomer, and they say, kol asher diber Hashem, na'aseh v'nishmo. Oh, finally. Finally, the glorious moment, na'aseh v'nishmo. What took so long? And what in the world is going on here in this pasuk? But first it says, na'aseh, and then Moshe does this whole story here. He writes it down, even the Zbeach, the Korbanos. Oh, na'aseh v'nishmo. What? What's going on here? What's the repetition? Why is it repeated twice? And why the first time do they only say na'aseh? And why in the second time do they say na'aseh v'nishmo? What happened in between? Why is this whole thing necessary? What is going on? It's a very simple answer. Read the Rashi's. Rashi says, when Moshe comes, Rashi plus the Gimel, what does Rashi say? He tells them all of the Mishpatim. Moshe comes down from Shemayim and he tells them, okay, here's the deal. What are the Mishpatim, Rashi? The Sheva Mitzvos Shenitztavu B'nei Noyach. Okay, very good. That's very important. Shabbos. That's good. The Kibud Av, the mitzvah of Kibud Av O'Aim. That's very important. Kibud Av O'Aim. Upara Aduma. Okay, that's a complicated mitzvah. V'dinin. Dinin. Mishpah, judgment, laws of the Sanhedrin. Shenidnu lochem b'mara. That's all he told them. The Sheva Mitzvah, Sminei Noyach, Kibud Av O'Aim, Dinim, Paraduma, a limit. There are a lot of mitzvahs there. Let's not kid ourselves. There's quite a lot. A lot of stuff there. Klal Yisrael, do you want to accept or not? Yes or no? Nase. We will do these mitzvahs. Yes. But not Nishma. And by the way, what is the difference between Nase and Nasev and Nishma? Let's not even get into that. We don't have time for that. Everyone knows that Nasev and Nishma is a much more glorious acceptance of the Torah than just Nase. Without even discussing that. Nase means the basics. We'll do it. Nasev and Nishma, that's the whole nine yards. That's the Super Bowl. That's the whole thing. That's the whole picture, the big picture. But Klal Yisrael, when they heard all of these mitzvahs, no, na'aseh. Moshe seems to be very disturbed. He's not happy with the answer. He's just not happy. And Moshe goes through a process of writing things down. And then at the end of the process, the pasuk says, Vayikach, he takes the Sefer HaBris. And he reads the Sefer HaBris, Be'ozne ha'om, in the ears of the people of Ayomu, and then they say, Kol asher dibra Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. We're finishing up, just one more minute. Na'aseh v'nishma. Pasuk Zayin, Sefer HaBris, He reads to them, Rashi, Mibereshis v'ad matan Torah. Umitzvoy shenitztavu b'mora. Moshe Rabbeinu now doesn't just present them with the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach Shabbos Paradu B'kim Levo'im and Mishpatim. He now gives them all of the stories. Maisa Bereishis, Avraham Yitzchok and Yaakov, Mechiras Yosef, the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. He presents everything, the history of Klal Yisrael, not just the mitzvos, the ovos, the emunah of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the whole shalshelus hadoros, and the mitzvos, plus the sheva mitzvos, and dinim, and kibra voeim, and parah aduma. Now they say, naaseh v'nishma. What's the Musar Haskel? There are two types of Jews. There are Jews who just, they go through life. They do the mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah. Today's Purim. Shachmanus. Okay, done. Shabbos. Okay, went to Shul Shabbos. Pesach. Pesach Seder. Go through. You do what you're supposed to do. You do the mitzvahs. If you just live a Torah life of doing the mitzvahs, I do it. I'm a good person. You're a wonderful person. Better than most people. You do the mitzvahs. That's naseh. But when you just don't do the mitzvahs, you go back and you look at the whole package. You go back to Maaseh Bereishis. You recognize Hashem created this world. You dwell upon Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Avraham is Chesed, Yitzchak, Gevur, Yaakov, Torah. You go through the story of Mechiras Yosef. What's there to learn from that? When you live Judaism in the whole package, then you're a Naseh V'Nishma Jew. When you live Torah, what do you want me to do today? Well, we have Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach today, and we have Dinim, and there's Kibbutz Avraham, and there is Parah Aduma, and there is Mishpatim, Sanhedrin. Okay, I'll do it. You're missing the flavor. The flavor of Yados is in the Ovos. The flavor of Yados is the Shalshelus Hadoros. It's
our story.
The story. It's not enough just, okay, do the mitzvah. No. You do. You have to absorb the whole package. The whole package elevates, catapults the mitzvahs to a whole new sphere, to a sphere of naseh v'nishma. Moshe Rabbeinu, in the beginning, what did he do? Hashem told me to give you the Torah? No, I'll give you the Torah. I'll give you the Torah. Here are the laws. Taryag mitzvahs. Everyone know the Taryag mitzvahs? Anyone have a problem? Anyone needs me to teach you the mitzvahs? I'm here to teach you the mitzvahs. And the response was lukewarm. It was a lukewarm response. Okay, we'll do it. Moshe sensed there's something that's wrong. You're missing salt and pepper. You're missing salt and pepper. And Moshe then realized, let's try again. Ceremony with the Mizbeach and the blood. But the main point is, he reads to them now from Bereishis Bara Elokim, all the way until that point in time. He presents them with the story. He presents them with...
Hadn't Moshe been teaching them from that very Sefer in Mitzrayim?
Yes, but this is the official acceptance. Here we are at the moment of truth. They knew all of these things. But when Moshe now presents it, you ready to sign the document? You ready to sign the bottom line, Matan Torah? If you're only presenting me with the bottom line, Moshe, there's something wrong. He said, let's start again. We have to do this differently. And he gave them, as part of the Kabbalah Satorah, not just the mitzvahs, the big picture. Oh, that's a whole different level. Kol asher diber Hashem naseh v'nishma. Rabbi Yisrael, have a wonderful Shabbos, a triple header, a triple crown. It should be Shabbos of Geula, Yeshua, Refu, and Nechama for all of us, of Klal Yisrael and the entire world. Be well, everyone. Zaygut.
Thank you.
Come out. It's a dar.
Wonderful Shabbos.
My LWB dog, the Abar Benel says that the reason that you want the Sanhedrin to be by the Beis Hamikdash is very simple, because that's where the Shechina should, there should be a Shefa, a Bracha of the Beis Hamikdash that falls on the Sanhedrin to make a better judgment.
Thank you.
Good Shabbos, good Shabbos. Yeah, yeah, I hear. Elder the Maida, what do you say? Elder the Maida, what do you say? Dr. Fruchter, good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos.
What was the big thing? They all were besnapped. They all were by Moshe. The Shivni Yishas Kedem that had the Batonach Alei Maruach was because they were near Moshe Rabbeinu. So they had the Shefa Bracha. The big thing from Eldad Umeida, boy, they're saying they were far away from Moshe and they still had the Vua. So that's what he was saying. Eldad Umeida, Misnabim Bamachane. They're back home and they still have the Vua. How's it possible? They must, maybe they're phonies.
Aha.
What are they doing?
How do they zeicha to Nevua by not being in the Machane?
Yeah, they're not near Moshe Rabbeinu. How could they have Nevua? So Moshe Rabbeinu recognized that they were having it.